just a few minutes, we will stand together and sing an invitation song. If the Lord don't come before we get there, or I don't fall over dead, or you know, we never know what's going to happen. I believe it's a great habit, I guess you'd call it, to extend the Lord's invitation at every service. We have no example of that in the Scriptures, but we certainly do have teaching that it ought to be done.
Revelation 2:27-17. The Spirit, that's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride, that's the Church of Christ, say come. And I think the time we say it best and possibly more effective is that. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have some interest in spiritual things, I don't believe. I don't know how much, but I certainly believe it. The wind's cold. You could have been home in a warm house, I guess, and doing things that you might have enjoyed more, but we're glad you're here, and we hope that you will listen attentively, and if you are not right with God, and you are a Christian, and you need to make confession of your sins, that you'll do so, or if you've never been baptized into Christ. I have, on a few occasions, baptized people in a creek when it was this cold, so I think I could manage to get into the baptistry and baptize you. It's not the best thing in the world to do, but we've had a few of those experiences. In fact, I've heard some preachers say they have broken ice in the ponds and baptized people in them. It really doesn't say where it's got to be warm or cold. It just says it's got to be for remission of sins, and it's got to be a barrel. And of course, I guess that'd be one time you'd wish that it was a sprinkling, but that will not work. And if that's the way you think you were baptized, give me 15 minutes tonight and I'll let you read about seven places where it shows that that will not meet the requirements of spiritual baptism. Tonight we're going to talk about 1 Kings 20, 12 through 19. So I'm going to read that first as I begin my comments on it. 1 Kings 20, 7 through 19. That 12 through 19, excuse me. It came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message. Now Ben-Hadad was the king of Babylon at that time. He and the kings were drinking in the provisions that he and his servants, he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array, and they set army themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And that's not where I want to read. So I wrote that down wrong, 1 Kings 20, 12 through 19, missed the very first one. Anyway, they came into Ben-Hadad's, the army of Syria came up there of Babylon did sometime before, and they saw the great treasures that Hezekiah had. Hezekiah showed them all of them. He showed them the treasure in the Lord's house and the treasure in the temple, showed every one of them. And when he went back home, the prophet came to him and said, what hast thou seen in thy house? And of course, they'd seen all this. The point about this is that there are things in our house that reveal things about us. And of course, they reveal that Hezekiah was very rich. And so, as a result of this, these people came up there and stole all those things and took them away, just like God said they would. But when I look at this, what has God seen in thy house? First of all, I hope that he's seen, and I put this year love practiced. You don't get many places to practice, learn how to love. Sometimes people you work for and work around give you an opportunity to learn how to love your fellow man. that's not always the case. Sometimes you can learn that, of course, with strangers as you get to know them and you see what they do. But the home is the place where we learn to love and what it really is. And God made it that way. I just talked to these two over here, you know, and I told them, now you know what it is to love somebody. And that's exactly. I remember when people told me before I had a child, you don't know how to love anybody. I said, you just don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly what love is to other people. But I found out that that wasn't the case. Love is where you learn forgiveness. What a great principle to go, how the home is, to go with love. And love is where you learn to work. And what a great thing that is. And so what have they seen? Love practice. Husbands, love your wives. Jesus nearly always told the people not just to love, but how deeply to love. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you can't say you love your wife as Christ loved the church unless you would lay down your life for her. And the Bible, he often does that. Ephesians 5:28, so men ought to love their wives as they love himself. If a man will love his wife like he loves himself, his home will be all right. You feed yourself, don't you? You clothe yourself, don't you? You keep yourself warm, don't you? You take care of yourself. And so if you love your wife like you love yourself, that was another degree. And the Bible says that that's the one thing. And then subjection. I know you women don't like this too much. 1 Peter 3:1-8. And I don't teach it that the wife is a slave, that she is under the husband in intelligence or anything else. Except the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And the Bible says that you should show forth subjection. Wives should show forth suggestions that your prayers be not hindered. If you are a mother in a home or wife in a home, and your prayers are being hindered, show more subjection. You men agree with that? Anybody give me an amen? Didn't hear a thing. But that's Bible. That's Bible. And then the Bible is, the home is a great place for training. Some people don't recognize this. But a home, and I don't want to say anything that I'm not trying to be crude, but it is wonderful that the home is the place where you and I were potty trained. I would hate to have to done that in some business or some public way. Our home is a home is a place where you learn to speak. And if you're not careful, you'll talk somewhat like your greatest models were. Home is a place where you learn to forgive. Your brothers and sisters, don't tell me you didn't have fights. There was 12 in my family, and I didn't fight much because I was young and a little bit below the others in size. And my brothers and my sisters, 7 sisters, that's worse than brothers. But anyway, we learn a lot of things, training. And I want to talk about the failures of home training. And the biggest thing, and we sometimes talk about, and I get sometimes corrected, can't you do anything about this, that, and the other? I can't do very much about how you act in worship. I have known people who used to do that. They'd go around and they would tap some on the shoulder. I have read about how the Puritans did it. I guess you have too. The Puritans, if you went to church and you went to sleep, they had a man that had a head tapper. Sure did. And many of the congregations practiced it. I don't believe that's very good. But I do believe you need to be trained in worship. Adam and Eve did a poor job of training in worship. They had 2 sons. One of them they didn't get trained. And he did not do what God told him to do. He did not worship by faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and that's the reason. God did not arbitrarily accept Abel's sacrifice and reject Cain's. He had already told them what to do. And Adam and Eve failed in getting the job done. And they did not act appropriately, or at least Cain did not act appropriately in worship. Aaron, the great high priest, failed, and his home failed. And I know nothing about his wife. And his home failed. He failed to teach his children how to worship. Leviticus 10:1-6. And they came to worship, and they offered strange fire up on the altar. Now, if you don't know this, strange means foreign. Foreign to what? Foreign to the Word of God. It's not in there. Instrumental music in worship is foreign to the Word of God. And I'll say what I said this morning. Taking the Lord's Supper on Saturday night is foreign to the Word of God. And I could go on. It is a duty of the home, not just the church, to train people in this. Then Eli, who was, of course, one of the judges there, Eli, he did a poor job of training his boys. And the Bible says, and I mentioned some of this morning, that they lay with the women around the sacrifice table. And they caused problems. And the record says in 1 Samuel 2:17, they caused the people to abhor the worship of God. The way people worship affects other people very deeply. I can't stop that. You can't stop that. That's just, we are affected. If you jump up and start shouting tonight, it will affect us. I don't know exactly what we will do. The Bible does say, rejoice, O you righteous, and jump for joy. And that's the one they use to justify dancing and worship in our day and time. And if I was going to dance, I'd have to jump, because I don't know the first thing about it. But anyway, we need to learn how to do that. And then, of course, the home is responsible for getting people to accept the right counsel and reject the wrong. I haven't known how that is until I have watched what's happening in divorces across this country. I haven't known what there really is until I've watched many, many people listen to the wrong people for their counsel. Your teenager may have a best friend. If they do, they've got a counselor, one they love and oftentimes trust. Chances are that they're not Christians. And chances are they're going to give them the wrong counsel. And chances are they're going to suffer as a result of it. In 2 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verses 22-23, we have an example of this. They listened to the wrong people, and sin came about of it. In Genesis 19, we have an example of this. That was the daughters of Lot. Can you imagine what happened in Lot's family? He had two daughters, and one of them came up with a plan. And so she talked to the other one. And the Bible says, let us cause our father to drink wine, and we will lay with him. And we can preserve seed to our father. What a plan to come out of a home. Especially a home that had some training from Abraham. And perhaps some from Lot. Accepting the wrong counsel. If you don't teach your children in home who not to listen to, as well as who to listen to, you're setting them up for bad, bad things, and possibly even the loss of their soul. They drunk wine, and they got him drunk. You can get drunk on wine. In fact, I saw just the other day on TV that it has much more alcohol content than beer. Having never tasted either one of them, never intended to, I'm telling you not to if you want to go to heaven. I stand before you at a judgment day. I'll look you in the eye. And if God says you told them wrong, I will apologize to you for it. But I know that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And he that partaketh thereof is not wise. And in the Bible, you'll find this over and over again if you study whether they drunk wine or other. And the Bible says, out of this union came two of the most ungodly nations the world ever knew, the Moabites and the Amorites. They came out of Lot's household because the home did not tell them that. And then again, that also in Exodus 32, there was bad counsel that was rejected. I cannot for the life of me understand how Aaron could have read, copied, taken down and taught that thou shalt have no gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything in the likeness on this earth or things in heaven. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor worship them. And so Aaron came along and said, give me the gold out of your ears and noses, I guess. And so he cast it into the fire. And it said it come out of calf. And that would have been a miracle indeed, which God would not have performed. And the Bible says that Aaron got before that congregation and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of the land of Israel. Israel needed to know how to reject wrong counsel. The Church of Christ in our time, every member of it, needs to know how to reject wrong counsel. If you think I am scared to death and tried to frighten you, you are exactly right. We are the ones that have the truth, not because we're smarter than they, but because we've chosen to believe only what the Word says. They don't have the truth, they don't love the truth, they don't practice the truth, and they don't teach the truth. You are listening to wrong counsel when you listen to any religious group on earth that teaches you anything except the Word of God. Anything. And the only ones that, the one I know of, is the Lord's Church. Does the Lord's Church make mistakes in this? Most certainly some do. And most certainly you have to be able to not believe every teacher, but try the spirits to see if they be of God. But I want to mention also that it is possible to have a successful home. What is a successful home? Someone says it's when you've got a good, comfortable house and all this good furniture. That's great. I think that'd be good. I think God would want you to have that. I don't think you need to apologize for it if you got it. But you need to recognize that that's not the greatest things about your home. That's not. Successful home. The first one we read about is in 1 Samuel 1. Elkanah and his wife had a successful home. Now, they weren't successful because they were free from arguing. You put two women together and you've got an argument if most of them are like the ones I have known. That's the reason I'm amazed that those women got along on that ark for a year. I've always been amazed at that. You say, what about the men? I guess I ought to be amazed at that too. But here it was, you know. And Elkanah's two wives had an argument. But Hannah was a righteous woman. And Elkanah was a righteous man. And the Bible says she prayed to God, as you remember. And her lips didn't move, which shows you can pray in your heart and be heard of God. And the Bible says she wanted a son. And she said, if you will give me a son, I will lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. She had that son by the prayer which she offered, and of course she brought him to the Lord, and she did lend him to the Lord. And the Lord's people were blessed because out of that union came Samuel. That was a successful home. If your home has to have no arguments to be successful, tell me tonight the ones never had an argument, and I will announce all of them. Oh, and I'll announce it all services for the next 3 weeks. Never had an argument. I had a teacher that taught with me 28 years. She was a member of the Lord's Church. She told me after about 10 years teaching, my husband and I have never had an argument. I'd just been married when first all this started, and I thought, I will never believe another word this woman says to me. Maybe I shouldn't have taken that route, but I will tell you, if you've had a home without an argument, today you're different from some homes, maybe even mine. I'm not going to admit anything right there, but I don't recommend it. But homes need need that. They need to settle themselves and forgive each other and live according to God's teaching. And then, of course, there is the home in Luke 1:30-38 of Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah. Was a successful home. Very successful home. God blessed that home with a child. And that home lived in a time when Israel was in subjection. They were under the Roman government. And the priests had to risk when they carried on worship. But the father of this evidently did and was faithful to that calling. And the Bible says when the angel appeared to Elizabeth, he said, "Your son shall become great." He'll be great. Well, that's good. Wouldn't you have to have a great son and him be president of the United States? Or make a great invention? Or write a great book? Or build some great building? But John did none of that. He just come and made a true and bold preacher. If you want your son to do something great, train him to preach. The Bible says you will have raised a great son. And you can raise a great son without him preaching. I don't want to mislead you along that line. If you'll be faithful in whatever walk of life he chooses to follow. And so that was a successful home. In Luke 1:13-14, this is possibly the most successful home that ever existed. The Bible says that Jesus went down to this home and was subject unto the parents that were in it. They reared him up. The Bible says that when Mary came there, that she was told that she would have a great son, and that he would set upon the king, on the kingdom of Israel, and that he would be a king. And so he was, and blessed the world more than any home that ever existed. Now, what does God expect to see when he sees, when he comes to our home? Number one, I believe, first of all, he expects to see a home where Scripture is taught. Wonder why God took the time to tell us about Timothy's household. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, you know all Scripture is given inspiration to what God is profitable. Do you know 15? Well, if you don't, you ought to. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. From a child. You reckon the doctor taught him? Did the doctor you have teach your child any Scripture? Reckon the nurse taught him? Reckon the first grade teacher taught him? Reckon the neighbor taught him? How did he know? Wonder why that in this we're taught that this young man was taught by his mother and his grandmother. I don't even believe his daddy taught him. But that's just an opinion of mine. I do not exactly know because the Bible does not definitely say. But that was right training. Timothy never turned away from it. He followed Paul and he was true to the calling, risked his life. And as far as we know and we believe it, he died a very faithful member of the Lord's church. Well, the right training and the right worship. The Bible says that Jesus, as was his custom, went up to the synagogue on the Sabbath day for the worship. Jesus went, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day to worship. Wonder how many he missed a year. Wonder if his mother and father ever took him to a ball game and missed the worship service. Wonder. I'm just wondering out loud. Wonder if they overslept sometimes and just didn't make it. I can't believe that, can you? The Bible says that they took him there. And then in the second chapter there, in verse 49, the Bible says that he was discussing some things and they came upon him and he was talking to the doctors and lawyers. And he said, "Know you not," to his mother and father, "that I must be about my father's business." It wasn't a choice. I need to be. I want to be. I hope I can be. No, the words must. The only way you'll ever be about your father's business if you put it as a must. If it's not a must, the Father won't accept it. If you're just going to do it when you want to, and when you might feel like it, and because you think it'll be a good time, no. God's Word and God's work is authority. And we need to recognize that it is a must situation. What has God seen in my house? And I mean in all of you have a house, even if you're a bachelor. Number one, has he seen love? Has he seen 1 John 5:3 love? Could you put over, we have love in this house, we keep all the commandments of God. That's what love is. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Well, would he have seen training in the scripture? John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If in your home, man, woman, boy, or girl, you have not had reading at least of the scripture, thinking about it, don't let this day pass until you begin. You could sit up 15 more minutes tonight. You sure can. And you can read it. That's, oh, that's good. And we ought to go back to our homes. Now, I'm not taking anything from the church. Church needs to do better too. Have you had training in obeying God? Now, do you parents believe in teaching your children their duty? I think you do. I think most mothers know that it's your duty to wash the dishes. It's your duty to make your bed. It's your duty to sweep the floor. It's your duty to take a bath. I'm not going to give you a bath. Well, what does the Bible says duty is? Ecclesiastes 12:3. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Put it all together. You think you've taught children their duty? Certainly we ought to teach them that they need to go to work. They need to respect that obligation. They need to behave. They need to honor their father and mother. But the number one thing there is they need to be taught their duty to God. I imagine that there will be people standing for Jesus Christ in judgment, who have been parents of several children, who have never discussed with their own children their duty to God. I don't believe any of this crowd will. I really don't. I don't believe there'd be a single person in this audience that won't have done that. I know we all would like to do it better. But I know if you love the Lord enough to bring yourself, you know that you need to do what you can to teach your children their duty. I believe that many homes are a failure because they have not kept this requirement to teach people, their children, the Word of God. And I think that's the big one that all of us need to think about. You cannot teach what you do not know. You cannot lead where you do not go. And if you're not a faithful Christian, you can never lead your children to be one. And if you're not a Christian, you can never lead your children to be a Christian without being one. Think about it. What is your duty before God now? It is to obey the commands of God he's given you to salvation. Would you do so while together we stand and while the